Hello. This is a very basic primer on hypnosis from an erotic lens. Most of what I make is romance or sexual content with either a veneer of hypnosis or an induction, deepener, body content, awakener style format. I do some more experimental sessions, but this is for the very basics. The what's, the why's, the how's. Not that I'm very good at any of those. This is why, in the spirit of due diligence, I have linked Sleepin' Girls, with aid from Gleeful Abandon, a tutorial on learning hypno kink in the links below. That address is learnhypnokink.com, LearnHypnoKink.com. Again, the link is below anyway. I'll also link to various books that I've enjoyed over the years, but a lot of how I learned to do trance stuff, hypnosis, was at conventions, live, stumbling across, you know, trance as a fun thing for me to do on my own solo. So a lot of this is from the beginner perspective of trying to find how to get started. Well, any of my audios that are in the beginner series on the site are made to be tutorials of a sort. Not all of them are as directly explanatory as the beginner's primer, which you are in now, but all of them have some element of, hey, here's a tool that may be useful. And that's part of what the whole trance thing is about. We have an idea of what hypnosis is. That's something that Sleepin' Girl put at the start of that tutorial I mentioned, and I'm going to expound on that first. There is a kind of meta-narrative of what a hypnosis session is, such that although it may be the case some people stumble on this fetish ab initio, as I did, it is very rare that you have no idea of hypnosis or mind control, which you may conflate with hypnosis, and I'll address a difference there shortly. But ultimately, you have some ideas of how it's done or how you think it might be done, or maybe you have negative ideas of, oh, I'm sure X can't work, oh, I'm sure Y can't work. Well, as someone who has been in on their fair share of stage and party and private and other hypnosis, pretty much anything can work because we are prone to illogical logic. We are prone to rule building and experience compartmentalization, and because we want the trick to work. When you see a magic trick, it's rare that someone just is like, oh, I hope this doesn't work. Of course you hope it works. And of course it often does. So, hypnosis is an altered state of being. It is something you undergo where you're like, ooh, I am aware of this experience as being different in some way from an experience I've had before. And when you have that experience of learning to compartmentalize your own experiences, you've taken the first step toward building a rule for yourself. Like, you may feel inclined to follow suggestions in trance, but it has not been my experience that it's mind control. You always have a choice and a collaboration. But I'm an experienced practitioner of various BDSM things, various kinks, and I can tell you that even during an ordinary non-hypnosis kink session, one can be so caught up in brain chemicals or peer pressure or the context that they do things they wouldn't otherwise do. And this varies from fetish to fetish as to what the thing you might do, even though you normally wouldn't, is. Accordingly, hypnosis is not, and this is again taken from that guide that I have linked below, but and I'll expound on it, hypnosis is not automatically safe or unproblematically safe. I like safety frameworks, and I like avoiding certain frameworks that are not useful or do not serve us. To give an example of one of my controversial opinions, or maybe not so much, there are audios out there that are like, oh, and this is irreversible, oh, and this is unchangeable, and they really drill down on the, you're going to have trouble getting rid of this suggestion. Well, that's silly for two reasons. One, it introduces a paradigm where maybe that person will think they need a deprogrammer file or something to throw out bad suggestions. When really, we throw out bad suggestions all the time. We throw out silly ones, too, based just on them not working for where we are. Learning to edit circumstances so you follow triggers to the best of your ability Which, we have an easier time with that now, because I think people have moved from a very mechanistic view of trance to a more programmatic and operant view, where you do things, and it is the doing of those things, the compliance chaining, that predisposes and habituates you to acting in the way you were acting. Perhaps just from the pleasure principle, from the idea that you will do those things that might feel good, and not do those things that might not, and many people consider hypnosis a pretty holistically enjoyable thing. I've heard that a lot. I agree with it, so. But, you know, it can be different. And until you have experience, unfortunately, you can make all the safety preparations in the world, but if you're someone who just has a particular knack for viewing things through the lens we collectively consider hypnotic trance and its trappings, if you like a particular type of trance, rapid inductions, relaxation-based, some people really like certain metaphors or visualizations, blowing up balloons with your thoughts, then popping the bubble, very common. The finger snap, also very common. And as you become more experienced, you may import certain of these that you like. Maybe you don't like snaps and you prefer a clap of the hands. Maybe you prefer a whistle. I've known many people with different signals. You get to pick. And once it's picked by you, it works better. So that's a pretty simple primer. You need to remember that you may be inclined, because of the previously mentioned we all have a collective knowledge of trance aspect, to think, oh, well, I've started listening to an induction, say the Night Night File from My Sight, or Brain Drain, or one of the other ones, and you're like, well, I don't feel like I'm relaxing. I feel like I'm getting all tight and all I'm anticipating it happening. That's good. That's not bad. If a file mentions relaxation, and you're someone who just kind of gets tenser and tenser, maybe you're one of the people who likes hands-free climax audio, or who likes adventurous fantasy stuff and wants to get a little ginned up and excited during your... That's allowed. There can be an active, moving around hypnosis session very often. I trance while doing my exercise in my VR headset on a regular basis. Beat Saber makes me drop instantly. So active and relaxed are not, you know, they're not incongruous with one another. You can have both be present, but you're not required to have relaxed be present. Even if a file says, oh, you're so lazy, drowsy, droopy. Well, if I'm doing Beat Saber and something I'm listening to has that, then my shoulders might drop and limber themselves up. And then I just tighten back up because when a suggestion is inappropriate for the context, we discard it. You should learn to have a healthy respect for whatever hypnotist you choose to listen to regularly, be it live and in files, because building trust in my expertise or any hypnotist's expertise just makes the trance work better. You trust, you believe, you go along, that's good. Stage shows are actually have a very high success rate because you want the trick to work in front of everyone else and be part of the fun and so on. Well, just be part of the fun, be collaborative with your hypnotist. The other unhelpful kind of paradigm, because I mentioned earlier that such things exist, is when it becomes, oh, well, I'm just so hard to hypnotize. I hear that quite a lot. A ton of people have tried, and I'm just so difficult to get into trance, so I bet you can't do it either. I have a very strong will. And that is setting up that paradigm, and I've conflated several problematic paradigms together to put them in the category of, that's kind of your choice. It is possible to make a set of choices about what you think about your psychology that might make it very hard for you to enjoy hypnosis, but that is equally true of, you know, basketball, or equally true of a television series. So it is unsurprising, I think, for me to say that you are probably going to have to make compatibility choices about what you choose to believe and retain and take on board about hypnosis, or work with someone who will help you integrate compatibility choices of, oh, I'm so hypnotizable. What was my first ever hypnotic mantra? I'll tell you, it was, I cannot resist hypnotic trance. And that was a good one. I enjoy that one. It has a lot of layers to it. Because remember, I've just told you I'm someone who thinks, oh, if a suggestion is inappropriate for the context, I can throw it out, can't I? Oh, if a suggestion doesn't work for me at a given time, I can toss that out, can't I? And I can. And I do. And I regularly do. So my inability to resist hypnotic trance is tied in with all my other mantras, one of which is, I don't do silly things. Ah, wouldn't that lock you out from you know, silliness play where my tongue lolls out, my eyes roll back. No, those are very serious things I'm doing to have fun, you see. So yeah, you just don't do silly things, which might take away some kinds of fun. And some people are into that. They're into being triggered in places where they're surprised by it. That's okay. You can set that up, but that should always be negotiated. And for this kind of work, you're just getting lesson after lesson. So you just have to absorb them. There will be a kind of combined experience at the end, which does a very basic useful starter thing that is elaborated on in other files. I'm going to walk you through a trigger and its suggested implantation. But first, I'm going to keep giving kind of a spiel on what I think's important to know going in. Most hypnosis files, if they are intended to help you into trance, present a suggestion, maybe help you out of trance, many of my files just leave you there because, again, you'll get up when you need to. You'll proceed when you need to. If your fantasy is a deep level of control, you may need to craft that individually. But if you want to roam around free agent style and try lots of different hypno, then the concept of you can edit suggestions on the fly. Later, when I give you a phrase, when I go night-night pet, that is gonna be one option. But if you don't like pet, or you already have night-night for something else, or if you wanted to use a different phrase, you just have to think that phrase hard whenever you hear me say the right word, and it'll stick that way for you. And there's often a kind of safety or comfort or sanity check included in these triggers, like, of course, only someone you've given the trigger to will be able to say it back to you, like giving someone a copy of your key. Boom, the metaphor works. Metaphors, visualization, it often does help. Even if you don't have inner visualization, though, there are many suggestions. It's really just about attention and where your attention is at any given time. And people think, oh yeah, you need a very focused state of attention with a blank mind for hypno- No. I have ADD, I'm great at going into trance, my brain is always in 20 places. You can go herring off in any direction you want. During even a conversation with someone you cherish time with, which I hope some of your hypnotic experiences are like that, in even that situation, your brain wanders all the time. It is such a silly expectation, but I think, one, it's not your fault if you did have that kind of visualization of trance, because that's very common. That's the depiction. Accordingly, like, yeah, no, you're going to think about a lot of different things all the time, and in so doing, you will end up with a really good context on, okay, I can still stay in trance. You get itchy, you have to scratch it. Now, some people are very literal-minded, and they may find they need permission expressly to scratch, or they may find that they just don't notice discomfort while in trance. And these are things you need to learn, as you would with any kink, for the negotiation phase, and for your self-knowledge, and for you to take care of yourself, and take charge of your hypnotic experience, which is what this whole little primer thing's been about. So to recap, there's no subconscious mind, but there is stuff that you do so steadily and automatically because you're used to it. That's what a lot of trance conditioning is about building, giving you reasons to return to a thought process or do a given activity. Most of my auto-hypnosis is just rules. If the lights in my room, which are color-changing, are set to a particular color when I turn them on, I might have pre-programmed things I do, and I just make myself always do them. Fake it till you make it is one way of saying it, but I prefer to think of it as build the habit, and then, instead of having to push to make it happen, you'll find you have to push very hard to not just do it. And since your goal is to go along, to make the trick work, once you feel the force of habit pulling you toward a familiar trigger, all you have to do is not push back at all, and you'll slide magnetically into place. Which is a bit what the induction and training at the end of this will be about. Hypnosis is neither blankness nor inactivity, and can indeed contain a greatly focused attention, as though all the attention you left sitting around on other things were pulled back. But remember, from the control room of your brain, you have maybe had to spend a few points of attention here and there throughout the day, or to remember important upcoming things. And then once you have done that, oh, if you rake all that attention back, your mind now completely flush with it, might redistribute some, and thus any racing thoughts or strange thoughts or random thoughts are just thoughts, any itches you need to tend to, or adjustments in position, do not require the permission of your hypnotist. That is silly. And an interesting phenomena I have, that I hope maybe you do, is when I feel frozen and like I can't move, sometimes I just immediately forget after I scratch an itch or adjust my pose, so I say to myself, wow, I didn't know I could stay that still. All these things are simple nods to realism, nods to sense, nods to also getting to explore your senses feeling a little different when you have the sense you are in trance. There's something to it, learning to incorporate, understanding your own ability to edit the hypnotic kink flourish of the moment, and understanding when to work with your hypnotist to let them build a surprising experience by doing exactly what they say. I'd say 60-40. And I mentioned before, whatever your attitude is toward me, that is a fairly direct buff to hypnosis. It is a fairly direct assistance to your hypnotic state. And how to hypnotize someone includes our pre-talk, where I present you with kind of the basic factoids. Hypnosis is not mind control, but like all kink that implicates dopamine and the brain just doing its normal thing and you feeling close to someone who shares your interest, us resonating on the same wavelength is a not uncommon hazard of hypno stuff, and you may over-identify with the fact that, hey, I drop, so maybe you'll drop deeper. This is really unique to you. So please, and this is again a quote from learnhypnokink.com, approach this with curiosity. I couldn't say it better. Try to find out what trance is like for you. It's a shift in brain gestalt for me. The difference between looking at the world normally and noticing that bunny duck illusion or the vase and two faces gestalt illusion, where suddenly the ink blot is something else. That's my trance experience, and once I'm in the trance rhythm, it's very easy to keep falling into it. A phenomenon known as fractionation, where you're down, then you're up, then you're down, then you're up, to put it very, very, very simply, and with no nuance. You don't have to be relaxed. And indeed, the first few times I did trance, I was like tense as hell, which just made it more exciting when I kind of did have a suggestion feel very real for me. And there's no wrong way to go. And actually, like, when I do these sessions, I'm throwing 5 or 6 things for each thing. So if you find that something I elaborate upon isn't quite your vibe, I might say it a different way right after. This is to replicate how, in a real session, your hypnotist will look at how you're responding and go with that. So feel free to, like, show that something isn't quite hitting the vibe, because chances are good there's another thing and another thing and another thing to try. Go along. Like I said, it's not fake it till you make it. It's habituate it until it habituates you. But you can notice a lot of different interesting stuff. Compliance chaining. The idea that once you've done one thing I ask you to do, you might want to do another. Listening to me was an ask. It's a big ask. That's part of why I love the pre-talk, because it's ask after ask after ask. I'm saying, hey, listen to me and I'll try to say something that sounds interesting or good. And because the pre-talk is often pre-prepared, although not entirely canned, this whole session's improv, so this is about the level of detail you'd get in a real session. And I just go on to say, all right, you don't have to be relaxed, you're going to be in control of your experience, but please remember your safe word. Here, your safe word is pausing the recording. Here, your safe word can also be to say safe to yourself, or another actual word. If you have a BDSM safe word, thinking it causing you to pop out of trance is a good self-suggestion to just do early. Because you almost never think you're safe word when you're having a great time, in my experience. Well, okay, there are edge cases and I don't want to be judgmental of even myself, but you will generally know what's going on. You may forget things later. To me, it can be a little, like, dreamlike. And if I had, like, a really good session, or if, like, there was sexy stuff mixed in, then my odds of just forgetting it in the blur of experience become higher. And maybe yours do too. But yeah, you will usually know what's up. And then after that, I'll try to get you to agree with things, and I'll just keep describing you. The induction often includes describing you, and when you hear in an induction and you hear someone say, you begin to tingle, or your right arm begins to be tugged gently upward, as though a string were tied around the wrist attached to a balloon, Try to be a good improv partner, by which I mean don't block. We say yes around here. We say yes and. Like in the aforementioned, oh, there's a string around your wrist and a balloon is beginning to slowly float your arm upward, and your brain go, hell yeah, wait, that's a very strong balloon. Whoa, why is my arm so high up? And then the string is cut and the arm falls, like a marionette with its strings cut, and you feel your whole body slump, because maybe your brain has the iconography of a classical marionette with its strings cut, slumping down, one of those wooden puppet style ones, yeah. From the Rabaxaset commercials is where I think of them, but it's a common iconography. It's a common stock image for that matter. If you take that suggestion and you yes and it, you'll have a better time. And better time. And this is about patter and pattern. I use rhymes and near rhymes. I try to pace it and spread it all out. And when I do, I'll sometimes speed up because I have certain advantages. I like to explain things, I have a rather more rapid clip and am more able to use confusion, suggestion, etc. to walk someone through numbers and go 1 plus 3 is 4, 4 plus 3 is 7. You can pay attention to about 7 things at a time, or maybe it's 9 plus or minus 2, and so on. Numeric confusion inductions, ramble induction, rapid fire overwhelm when it comes time for pleasure stuff, and so on. It's about where your focus is. If I'm boring and I'm not saying useful things, or if I get too repetitive for your taste, that's also why I vary how much repetition is in a file. I know I've repeated myself here quite a bit. And then we go to you having faith in my expertise. I'm establishing credibility and bona fides, I'm making a few jokes, I'm offering ideas and predicting future positive sessions here to build rapport, to build some sense of, oh, there is value in listening to what I say, so your brain may consider that value proposition. And sometimes, to feel more like you're in it with me, you're going to want to think I know what's up. That's very valuable. If I say, did you notice how the warmth through your body is beginning to settle in your left arm? Because the right arm already had that balloon. And the strings were already cut, so your right arm's just too exhausted. So we have to do the left. And because the left is exhausted too, a particularly powerful balloon, and we cut the strings quick, and your arm drops. And you see, that kind of thing, that's phrasing. It's suggestion. And then it's, I've started describing something I know about you that you didn't know. When faced with that, you can go, you don't know that about me, or you can go, well, actually, I kind of feel like you might know what's going on. If you start to feel dazed or hazy or confused, pleasurable, positive emotions at times, then you may hearken to whatever I'm saying like a lamppost to get you back on track and help you see, to move to it like a lighthouse and get tethered outside. And even if the trance moves quite quickly and the waves of it wash through you, and if relaxation does happen, though it's not necessary, or a tension of attention where all your focus and attention is on the storytelling, on my voice, on how your body is settled, then ultimately, you may notice it. You get to notice what your body's doing. When someone presents a trance, they're like, oh, I'd like you to lay down. Sometimes there's a good reason for that. But if you notice there's no reason for you to be in a particular position, adopt the position that makes you drop deepest. Practice trance at different times. In a hot bath, if you can trust yourself to stay awake, be safe, careful with the headphones, but I like that one. Laying in bed right when you're waking up, and if it's a day where you have the whole day free, let yourself fall back sort of asleep. The best trances can be ones you wake up in the middle of, but your brain is still in that hazy, warm sleep place, and you just nod along and accept whatever you hear to avoid having to do the hard work of actually waking up. Once you've vetted a session you like by listening through, that can get things pretty responsive in my personal experience and just be fun besides. And so when I talk and we're in trance, gradually the induction is really about inducing you into a club, a collaborative improv club, where you and I agree that everything the other says will be true. Now the you and I agree part is a fun part of this, because if you start saying, can I do X suggestion, or if you manage to make a request, or could you make that warmer, or if you do that suggestion again, it's going to be really good, or time that when we're having, you know, a certain part of the session, put them together. Give notes. A, because you might forget at the end if you're too dreamlike or hazy. Like, I have a suggestion to write notes down mid-session, and people always know it's going to be a good one if I do that, that it's some idea that I want for later. Hold on to those things. Be collaborative, because we're each going to agree the other is telling the truth, and even if you're just being honest about your wants, they're more achievable mid-session sometimes. And you just talk to each other. Or in the case of me, you listen, and listen only to the suggestions I give you that fit together, because I'm often assembling three puzzles on top of each other so someone could take different routes through the same trance. 10 and 7, well, 7 plus or minus 2, 9, 8, 7 again, plus or minus 2, 9, 8, 7, confusion-based number inductions. There are a lot of things out there. I've given little smatterings here, and I'm working contemporaneously with the development, and I'll release it alongside this, a kind of tasting flight of induction methods, each with a similar suggestion from three of my most common suggestions that are used elsewhere. That way, you feel like your time is more valuable. Another good hypnotic trick. If you feel like the audio you've invested time in, if you're following a narrative with a story, or if you've invested time in listening to the same or similar set of voices, then that will increase, probably, does for me anyway, the gravitas, the trustability, the sense that the other party knows your experience. So I've kind of just given you a scattershot of this, and I'll include a PDF of the transcript so that you don't have to fish for particular parts or take notes. And I will put a note in the description that there is such transcript so nobody starts taking notes at the start of this. And now, I'll do an induction. I'll do a brief deepener of the numeric sort, an induction of one of the classical sorts with a commentary on its nature, and the suggestion I'll do my night-night trigger. And for the awakener, I will do a permissive cusp of sleep awakener. I have a few of those in the library and they're fun. I will pause during each to give notes because A, it re-ups my rapport and it might help you to give me more credence or want to listen to me slightly more, and B, because this is an information session. All right. For the induction, I've chosen a progressive relaxation induction. I'm going to do two versions of this. The first one is almost a joke. The second one is both a joke and arguably my most effective induction for experienced trancers. And then I'll do a deepener of a numerical sort, which is just taking advantage of my rapid-fire clip. I like them for that reason. And people who like to feel overwhelmed and then have their brain just go, nope, I'm just going to do what I'm told. Which is my response, but not everyone's. This is a unique and, to quote learnhypnokink.com for the last time, a subtle experience of investigating your own experience. So, I didn't do any setting this time, like a theme, but you'll see me apply fantasy or science fiction or cyberpunk, etc. That goes back to the very first lesson of this little primer, which is that we have a shared consciousness of what is and is not hypnotic, and in sharing that hypnotic context, some things become useful. Brainwashing pods or watches swinging back and forth, metronomes, tick-tock, etc., clockwork in general, puppet strings like I used earlier. These are classical somnambulist hypnosis, stage hypnosis, and movie hypnosis flourishes, but they're also very effective. The fantasy of drinking a potion, even if it's plain water with a drop of honey in it or something, can help some people to enjoy their session or their trance, or to think, oh, there is an organic mechanical cause, therefore if I feel silly, I am excused. I tell you, resisting feeling silly is one of the first things that helps you in trance. Okay, so we're at about the half-hour mark, which is where I will put in the description a note, hey, skip to the half-hour if you just want the educational trance portion of this. Thank you for staying with me, even if you had to pause and bookmark your place and come back. I'm taking deep breaths. I encourage you to do the same. Yours are for your relaxation. Mine are because you're not really supposed to rush the induction. It's the most fun part for some people. It's valuable, and it gives an opportunity for you to square your own thoughts. Understand that the induction is not about me doing a mechanical thing to you. It's about you making your thoughts ship shape to notice the subtle differentiation that demarcates entering some kind of hypnotic state by your definition. Unfortunately, there's a lot of we score our own projects in hypnosis. So this is an educational induction intended that you can follow along with the kind of threads, and maybe even you'd be able to make one of your own after this. I'm just going to explain what I'm doing, why I'm doing it. But as I said, I'm not applying a theming here. No fantasy, no sci-fi, no cyberpunk. But I will take this very induction, this very deepener, this very suggestion, this very awakener, and reflavor them into any of those. The awakener I'm going to do could just as ably be the optional internal computer on a cyberpunk sleep pod. It could just as easily be the end of a stasis spell that's been holding you in a ruin for a long time if we go with the fantasy oeuvre. It could just as well be a mechanic inside your mind, where a smaller version of you pushes the wake-up button and boom, you're out of your mindscape. There are lots of ways to conceptualize trance, and because we all have some kind of understanding of what hypnosis is, ranging from the very clinical to the very magical, not that those are opposites, they are instead points on a large graph which may represent any X, Y, Z coordinate for wonder versus mechanism. But this is going to be a fairly mechanistic, fairly vanilla, I guess, trance. Induction. Progressive relaxation induction, followed by my something attention induction. Deepener. The counting confusion deepener that I presented part of earlier in the session, done with a rapid-fire clip. Suggestion. My night-night pet. Suggestion. Which, if you have it installed, maybe you just drop, just keep dropping. I'm going to layer these on top of each other. And then lastly, a permissive awakener, which allows one either to drift off to sleep, to loop the file, or to stop listening and stretch, refresh, to return to their day. I say allows, but of course you can edit any or all of these suggestions to your preference, in your brain. When I ask you to listen to me, I ask you to be also thinking for yourself. Because giving me credibility, or saying, oh yeah, that sounds like a good idea, is something only a brain that is thinking and practicing discernment can do. You help me more if you decide to only keep what you adore, from what follows. Ready? As I said, I took some deep breaths to slow my cadence. At a certain point in our history, I remember the hypnosis community had a lot of progressive relaxation inductions. If you pick up a basic track, chances are good you'll get it. And I mean, it's very familiar to people, it's very accessible. If you're used to meditating, it can be a blessing or a curse, because people who meditate in other contexts might not want their trance to resemble their meditation practice, and those who just don't meditate might be averse because of the similarities. However, I'll walk you through one. Breathe deeply for me, and please return your attention to your breath as best as you can. You're still allowed to let your brain wander. Hypnosis didn't become sleep or about relaxation from the beginning to now. Hypnosis is about simply following along and exploring the subtle experience of spotting your own altered state, and then habituating until it habituates you, making it till it makes you. Hypnotized, but able to edit each and every suggestion, parsing through for the ones that work best on you. Parsing through and finding that they cue up in your brain. So, as I speak, the words are vibrating into your head, through your ears, into your brain, interpreted as electrical signal. So that must be where the relaxation starts. It could be the face, the gentle attention diverting from the breath going in through the mouth, filling the lungs, getting some of the relaxation you're breathing in, for if my voice is making its way through your ears and into your brain, it must be hanging out around your head, to be breathed in, to be led into your body and let into your lungs, as though tiny versions of you were rolling out the red carpet. Breathe me in, and the relaxation might begin in any of the places, and this induction traditionally does, go to places where one might think of themselves as holding intention. The jaw and the shoulders, the thighs. And as that relaxation moves, you simply choose a pair of muscles, Selection criteria can include picking paired ones such as left wrist, right ankle, right thigh, left buttock, the right side of your neck, and the left side of your neck. It would be silly to just relax one. Then your shoulders would slump less ably, less completely. Let them slump completely. And the waves that are making their way in are chiefly sound waves, but also the wave from the top of your head to the tips of your toes scanning over your system, relaxing muscles perhaps in pairs as presented, or perhaps one at a time, from all the tension in your shoulders to the tension in your calves, your thighs, the curling and then relaxing of your toes, the squeezing tight as you can of your fists, and then relax, because when you're doing something as firmly and tightly as you can, it is such a relief to let go, and the letting go must happen eventually. The tighter you hold yourself, the more likely the fail state and pleasure state of, oh, I am untensing, might come to the forefront. And that's one version, a very quick version, a very slow version, of the progressive relaxation induction. Now, when I do it, typically I'll think, oh, well, if this person is an experienced hypnotic subject, they've heard 1,000 progressive relaxation inductions. And so I'll do the progressive attention induction, or my something induction. If you did get anything out of me progressing through the general and gentle relaxing, that skill is entirely on you. That was a very bare-bones explanation, and not even a performance relaxing your ankles, your curling toes, your relaxing brain. For even the mind is a muscle, just a muscle, with delusions of grandeur. So now, follow me down, deeper and deeper down. The longer you listen, the further you can go, the better you know that you're going deeper and deeper down. That's how it works. And then the something induction is, trance is an opportunity to drag back in all the chips you've left out there, imagining you start each day with an amount of attention, 100 or 1,000 or 10,000, you can subdivide it how you like, based on what you encounter in the world. You can subdivide it as you please, and you'll eventually find that you've had to leave some of it out in the world. You've had to leave some of your attention out on the tables of the world. And so when you're able to rake it back in, oh, isn't that lovely? Now you have more attention to spend here in trance. That's the trick. Trancing out and really loving, dropping, relaxing, soothing, suggestible, labile, at the ready, shapeable, like the shape hidden inside the clay which the artist only discovers, you being the artist here, well, when you enter into that state, it can feel like you're pulling all that attention that you left in the world back. But the problem is you're going to spend it on trance. You're going to use it to follow suggestions or accept, oh yeah, that was a good idea, that did feel good, or wait, what was that thing said before? Catching up, some parts of a trance only catch up with you later. Night-night. To be turned out like a light is one of the goals, but I had you rake all that attention back. So let's do something with it. What if, instead of all that very specific stuff with muscles and relaxing and progressing, we just assumed there was a device, some kind of big, heavy device, maybe a bit like a paint roller, I guess. We call this the something. And that something could be dragged down your body, smoothing out any cares, any wrinkles, helping your mind to simply just be freed from the prior consideration. Why? Because something is going on. There's a little jar called something. And every time you hear about something doing something to you, you put one of those reclaimed pearls of attention that were out in the weary world and are now back in your mental wallet, so to speak. Every time something happens to your body, something pleasant, something soothing, you put another one of those little motes of attention in that jar. And we pay attention to that jar, because we'll see it later. You don't have to keep a specific count, but You might keep in mind whether I have said something only one or two times, or said something and then something else and then something additional, because this will determine whether, when that jar full of little motes of your attention is upended to a purpose, whether it's a big shove or a little one, in that direction. So, okay, something washes from head to toe. It's not muscle relaxation, because again, hypnosis isn't always about relaxation. It can include that, but a trance feels how it feels. It could be quite active or tense. It could involve you being able to stand and move and walk around. It could be purely mental, purely physical, phenomena, or an entire experience. Remember, it is a quality you're seeking. It's a subtle state of mind. And it's potentially there. So you decide, okay, I'm going to follow along. And you decide, as you're informed, that something is taxing your attention. Taking a detour through the usual process of how you spend that, so you just have less and less mental power to come out in the forefront. Less and less thought process to come out and cover everything. You just have less and less thinking in there. Same as me when I get that way. Because the attention is being taken, but why? Well, there's a story to explain that, which also forms our deepener. Then there will be a suggestion, then an awakener, and then I will let you go, and that will be the end of the first primer. So, back to where we were, a little story which takes the place of our deepener. You see, when visualizing the function inside of you, it helps to have an inner world. Even if you don't have great visualization, fantasization, imagination behind your eyes skills, you can still tell yourself stories about your hypnotic inner world. I do all the time. It's where most of my self-hypnosis comes from. So you also gain the ability, ultimately, to assign qualities or frameworks to certain situations. So if you imagine that you have a control room up there, a part of your brain that has to navigate the day, and therefore probably has to juggle 7 or 8 or 9 streams of attention at once, like a bunch of desks in an open-plan office, each of them inhabited by a copy of you. Smaller versions of you, but versions of you nonetheless. For hypnosis, this can be expanded into the metaphor that sometimes some of those desks just have an MP3 player or a computer screen with a spiral, and whichever bit of your attention is supposed to be working on that thought stream, it's in the hypnospace. It's not doing anything except listen, and as I said before, we can only allow ourselves so many threads of attention before we find that we aren't really able to continue on expanding our awareness. A very classic tricksy confusion induction or deepener is to use the idea that you can remember about 7 things at once, plus or minus 1 or 2. So of course that means you could remember between 9 and 5, and then you just kind of bounce back and forth. You do numbers up and down and so on, but I invite you to imagine 8 or 9 desks in an open plan office that represents your mind, and more of your streams of attention, little versions of you, standing, stupefied, hypnotized, actively waiting for the next instruction, swaying left and right, in time to the voice. That is what you can do when you're visualizing a kind of internal awareness. And remember when I was like, something is washing down over you? Well, the something was a jar, and you put one little point of attention into it. So imagine just a jar full of little versions of you getting dumped out on one desk with a hypno spiral, one desk with a trance written down, recorded up, one place. All that excess attention gets used to shove you deeper and deeper down. This anchors context. Having the ability to go, oh, well, this relates to this, this ties to that. Being able to create context and associations inside your mind to push forward the trance. This is very beneficial because you can hand your triggers to people, let them use them, and then they are both shared and familiar. And one of mine, both in the sense that I have trained myself it and in the sense that I really like it for other people, is Night Night Pet. And you can say night-night and then your name, or you could say night-night and then the finger snap. All these things together, working together, combining together, can collab to kind of give you an easy context save button. So when you're relaxed into trance, and you, if you do, feel any gratitude for or enjoyment of all the words I've said up till now, if you're willing to give me any amount of credit, then accept a suggestion. You're already deep, you're already gone. The idea that you can save the current state you're in at this level of deepness, and then in future when you hear night night pat, or night night then your name, or just night night and a finger snap, or no finger snap at all, night night and a clap, night night purred in your ear with nothing else, you decide the terms. Get used to editing your triggers to work better for you, because if they match the context, they do so much more. Feel the way you feel right now, and then imagine what it would be like to feel the way you feel right now, but have it come over you. One moment you don't feel this way, the next moment you're exactly relaxed enough to play and stay and drift and drip and... Now if you're done, you know the assignment. You know the drifting state. The reason you get a permissive awakener is because if you want to stay down and repeat to yourself inside your head, night night pat, I cannot resist hypnotic trance. Night night pat, I cannot resist hypnotic trance. But if you've got to get up, if you've got to do something, then rake all that attention back in, even the attention from the something soothing jar. Rake that attention back in, and from a place of purpose, do what you must. But if you're able to stay as deep as you are, if you are able to be brushed across with hypnotic intent, then keep saying, night, night, me, night, night to you, night, night, both of us. I cannot resist hypnotic trance. I hope you've enjoyed. This has been one of the basic hypnotic primer pieces. Make sure to read the links in the description. Maybe consider some of the books, but Sleeping Girls Learn Hypnokink and her other educational material is what got me really thinking about presenting this stuff in an engaging way. I hope you feel engaged with. Feel free to tune in to the other beginner audios if this is your first one. It's listed at the top of the list, but you can jump around through any of them. They all have a preamble or a postamble, like this one. As always, this is made possible by the Patreon at patreon.com/esuccubus, and all my work is always presented at esuccubus.com.